thank you, and greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Today, our star is popular Elliot Lewis in The Worm Turns. Act one in just a moment, but first, a word from our announcer, Wendell Niles, for La Rosa.
Have you discovered that wonderful special La Rosa flavor? That luscious La Rosa flavor that comes exclusively from the cream of the great new Durum wheat crop? It's at your grocer's now. The most delicious macaroni, spaghetti, and egg noodles you ever tasted. Because La Rosa's got the cream of the crop. You see, La Rosa is the world's largest user of fine Durum wheat semolina. So it's natural that leading Durum millers offer La Rosa first choice of super select number one cream of the crop semolina. Prove it yourself. Tonight, make the La Rosa three-way quality test. See, taste, compare. See La Rosa's natural golden color. The natural sunshine of the world's finest semolina. Taste La Rosa's luscious flavor. Richer, smoother, more delicious, with that just right firm yet tender texture. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. Now, once again, our host, C.P. McGregor.
And now the curtain rises on Act One of The Worm Turns, starring Elliot Lewis. Well, the complete and simple reason why this story became a story is the fact that they've been married 5 years. Only you'd think it was 50 from the way he acts. I'm speaking, of course, of Fran and John Bellamy. Her real name is Frances, but everybody calls her Fran. That is, everybody but John. He doesn't believe in pet names. In fact, he doesn't believe in a lot of things. About the only thing he does believe in is pumps. You see, he's in the pump business, Amalgamated Pumps. And the pump business has been very good. But does that make John Bellamy happy as a lark? It does not. It makes him as puckery as a lemon. He's a sourpuss. His old friend and schoolmate, Dr. Hector McGillicuddy, being a psychiatrist, thinks that his grouchiness is a fixation of some sort. In fact, Dr. McGillicuddy has just dropped into the Bellamy residence to talk it over with Fran. John is still at the office, selling pumps.
But, Hector, there's just no sense in beating around the bush about it. I tell you, I'm losing my mind.
Oh, now, surely it's not as bad as all that, Fran.
Isn't it? Well, you try living with an iron pump for almost 5 years and see how much mind you've got left.
Oh, but there's no use in giving up the ship, Fran. While there's life, there's hope. And maybe he'll change.
Oh, no, heck. I'm afraid the only change he'd make would be for the worse.
Does that mean you don't love him anymore, Fran?
Oh, no, of course it doesn't. Oh, well, I don't know just how long I can keep it up.
Well, as I've said before, I still think it's a case of a fixation of some sort. Phobia.
Well, whatever it is, heck, it's not fun.
Look, Fran, why don't you try to talk John into coming down to my office one day? There's a fairly new treatment out that, it might work. Has to do with hypnosis.
You mean you could hypnotize John into thinking he was a human instead of a pump?
I don't know, but I can try.
Well, don't you think that... Oh, Hector, I don't think I'd smoke in here if I were you.
Hmm?
John will be home any minute, and you know how he feels about it.
Oh, pish and tush. I'm a guest, and I smoke. And if John doesn't like it, he can throw me out and open the windows. You don't mind, do you?
Oh, of course not. But I was just thinking...
Well, as I was going to say... Well, speak of the devil.
Oh, hello, John.
Good evening, Francis. And how are you, Hector?
Oh, first rate, Johnny, old boy. The fact your sweet, charming, and lovely wife has invited me to stay for Irish stew and dumplings makes me all the more first-rater.
Hector, you're smoking.
Well, amazing deduction, Mr. Bellamy.
I'll thank you to put it out. You know how the smell of the stuff makes me sick.
Well, that makes it even, Stephen. You make us sick, too, sometimes, doesn't he, Fran?
Mm-hmm.
My wife's name happens to be Frances, Hector.
Oh.
And the fact that we went to school together hardly gives you the privilege to ridicule me in my own home.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll go see about dinner. It'll be ready in a few minutes, dear.
Don't forget the mint jelly, Fran.
I won't.
Well?
Well, what?
Hector, I think we should have a talk.
An excellent idea. What should we talk about? You?
I think there's very little to say about me, Hector.
Oh, you hit the nail slam-bang on the head that time.
What do you mean?
Oh, come on, John. Let's not be coy. Now, look, we're supposed to be old friends, aren't we?
I used to think so.
Well, I'll ignore that one and carry on. John, have you looked at yourself in any mirrors lately?
Why?
Well, did you notice any resemblance between yourself and those choice little discoveries of nature? Persimmons?
Is that remark supposed to be humorous, Hector?
No. I check my humorous sallies at the door when I come visiting you, Mr. Bellamy. I merely made that remark in order to find out if you'd ever found out what an old sourpuss you are.
Hector, I've had a rather difficult day at the office, and I'm in no mood
office,
for your
jollities. Office. You mean you've been playing ring around the rosy with those amalgamated pumps of yours for so long, you've practically turned into one. Why, every time I shake hands with you, I automatically reach for a tin dipper with my left hand.
I'm afraid your medical sheepskin has given you an overemphasized sense of intrusion, Hector. And friendship, like anything else, can be strained too far.
Oh, fiddle-faddle. And if that were the case, I'd have bashed you on the nose long ago. And incidentally, when you said friendship like anything else, you struck something. Like anything else could mean love, couldn't it, John?
What do you mean?
I'm probably wasting my time, but I mean Fran.
I've told you before, my wife's name is Francis.
Yeah, and your wife's name's going to be mud if you keep on down the old path. The worm just might turn, you know. Oh, not implying that Fran's a worm. But you're going to lose her, Johnny, old boy, if you're not careful.
Hector, I should like you to understand one thing.
Well?
I have always liked you and admired your intelligence.
Well, thank you.
And for the sake of your friendship, I can tolerate your criticisms of me and my conduct. But when you begin discussing my personal affairs, I must draw the line.
Hang it all, John, that's just what I mean. You said my personal affairs. Well, did it ever enter that skull of yours that Fran's affairs might have something to do with it?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't bother begging my pardon and don't interrupt. I'm going to say what I want to say if it gives you apoplexy. You and your eternal grouch and restrictions are driving Fran right out of your house.
Hector, I've heard all I want to hear.
Oh, is that so?
Dinner's practically on the table, gentlemen. Are you about ready?
I won't care for my dinner, Francis.
Well, why not, John? I've made a lovely Irish stew with those dumplings you like.
Oh, he'll have dinner, Fran. He's just pouting for a minute or two.
What's the matter with you two? Argument?
I am going back down to my office.
But, John, dear, you just came home. Your dinner.
I said I am going back down to my office.
Wait a minute, John. Hang on to your shirt. I didn't mean to get you all upset. Take it easy. Instead of you going back to your office, I'll go back to mine, and then we'll all be happy.
You needn't bother waiting up for me, Francis. I shall undoubtedly be rather late.
But please, dear, Hector didn't mean anything.
Good night.
Well.
Sorry, Fran. Looks like I've rather overstepped myself.
What happened, Hector?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just gave the old boy a little too much of the Evis. Fran, it makes me so doggone sore when... Well, it's none of my business, and I guess I just better keep my mouth shut.
Well, there's no use in feeling that way about it, Hector. You'd better come in and have some stew and dumpling.
Well, do you see what I mean about John being nothing but a puckery lemon and a sourpuss? I know it's hard to believe, but not once in the 5 years they've been married has John ever taken Fran out dining and dancing. John has a notion that dancing's immoral. He won't allow her to play bridge because he believes that card games are sinful and a waste of time. Of course, a lot of people are sincere in their convictions about such things. But with John, it's different. He's not a religious man. He's just an amalgamated pump. Well, getting back to what happened, John was too mad to drive his car down to the office, or he wanted to save on gasoline, so he walked. That is, he started to. And just as he was turning off Sycamore Street onto Colbert Avenue, the place where they hadn't fixed the streetlights yet, a shadow detached itself from a tree and moved silently up behind old sourpuss, Mr. Bellamy.
All right, mister. Wait for the Milky Way. This is a stick-up.
What?
And cut the gas. I ain't social, see? Where's your wallet?
My wallet is in my back pocket, but there's nothing of value in it.
No?
Look for yourself. I never carry currency with me. It's too much of a temptation for ruffians like yourself.
Yeah, like I see what you mean, buddy. Have you got a watch?
Certainly, I bought it yesterday. It cost $1.
I see it. Now keep your hands up.
It's in my vest pocket.
Yeah? Well, what do you know? A turnip. Yeah. You know, it's just mugs like you that makes the going tough for mugs like me, see? And I think we ought to start doing something about it, see?
And what do you think you can do about it?
Well, mister, we might start the ball rolling by doing this away. Or maybe that'll teach you not to go walking around the streets with nothing in your pocket but a nickel-plated turnip. Boy, this depression is something awful.
Telephone, Fran. You want me to get it?
Oh, thanks, Hector, but I'll take it.
Probably John wanting you to say some stew and dumplings for him, but we won't. I'll eat them all up if they kill me.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bellamy. What? You'll have to speak louder. I can't hear you. You say unconscious?
Hmm? What's going on, Fran?
He was slugged?
Who was?
Oh, I see. Well, yes, I'll be right down. No, you needn't bother calling another doctor. There's one right here.
Why, Fran, what is it?
It's John.
Yes? Well?
That was the police. They said they just picked him up on the sidewalk at Sycamore and Colbert. Somebody hit him over the head.
Well, come on. Let's go. Get your coat.
Yes.
Oh, my fault, too. If it's serious, I'll find the guy that did it if it takes me 20 years. And if it isn't serious, I'll still find him. He deserves a medal.
On Act One of The Worm Turns, starring Elliot Lewis. Our star and our distinguished cast of La Rosa radio players return shortly for Act Two.
CP, I sure am enjoying the show. I always like a good snappy story.
Thanks, Wendell. And I might add that one story I like to hear these snappy days is my wife saying, "We're going to have La Rosa dinner tonight."
Well, ladies, will you tell that to your family tonight? These snappy days, your active family needs hearty, appetizing, bodybuilding meals. For instance, cream chicken ring a la Rosa. There's a great dish. Costs so little, gives so much enjoyment. All you need is La Rosa elbow macaroni. Mmm, those luscious golden elbows. A little leftover chicken and a creamy white sauce baked in a ring mold. Looks good, tastes La Rosa wonderful. For the detailed recipe and 100 other wonderful La Rosa treats, consult your La Rosa cookbook. Or if you've not gotten yours yet, send for your big 64-page recipe book today. It's free. Write La Rosa, that's L-A, capital R-O-S-A, care of the station. Now prove La Rosa's superiority yourself. See, taste, compare. See La Rosa's natural golden color, the pure sunshine tone of the world's finest semolina. Taste that luscious La Rosa flavor, richer, smoother, more delicious. Made in the unhurried old world way for that just right, firm yet tender texture. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. Extra nutritional value because all La Rosa products are enriched with extra vitamins and minerals. Help safeguard your health. You'll like La Rosa. It's America's largest selling brand. Now here's C.P. McGregor.
And now, Act Two of our play, The Worm Turns, starring Elliot Lewis. How mad can you get? That seems to be the question with old sourpuss John Bellamy. But then, if you're a pump, what does it matter? John left his house in a huff. He almost slammed the door handle off. He's mad at his wife and his old friend, Dr. Hector McGillicuddy. So mad, in fact, that he passed up a dinner of Irish stew with dumplings. And that, believe me, is mad. And whilst he was perambulating his wrathful way down a very dark street, he was stuck up. And because the questionable gentleman that stuck him up could extract nothing from him except a dollar watch, he proceeded to conk Mr. Bellamy with the butt end of his revolver, which quickly and completely reduced Mr. Bellamy to a state of who cares. Eventually, of course, somebody found him. He was identified and brought home, And right now, it's about time old Sourpuss should begin to come too.
Hector, are you absolutely sure that it's not serious?
Well, there's no evidence of anything serious, Fran. Of course, there's always a chance of concussion. We'll just have to watch him for a while, that's all.
Now, why on earth would anyone want to hit poor John over the head?
Did you ask that question for the purpose of getting an answer?
Of course I did. Why?
And I'll say, why on earth wouldn't anyone want to crack poor John over the head?
You're being cruel, Hector.
I know it. But there have been many times when I've looked at those fire irons downstairs with a wild gleam in my eye.
Oh. He's coming, too.
Yes. Oh. Now, just take it easy, old-timer. You're all right.
How do you feel, John?
Huh? What?
I said, how do you feel, dear?
I've got a headache.
There's nothing unusual about that. Most people do after being bashed over the head.
Ugh. Now, let me sit up.
No, wait. I'll help you, dear. Don't exert yourself.
I won't. Who the devil are you?
Huh? What?
Yeah, and who's this graven totem pole here wearing the tortoise-enclosed window frames?
Why, John, dear, what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Oh, my head. I'm not talking about anything. I'm asking a question. I'm asking you who you are and who this... Ooh, what a repulsive-looking creature. I don't know what it is.
Why, John, you must be out of your head. You'd better lie down again.
Is a man out of his head simply because he asks a question these days?
Hector.
John. John, do you mean to tell me you don't know who Fran is?
Fran. Sounds like a breakfast cereal.
John.
Look, I don't know what this is all about, and I'm not exactly accustomed to having strangers make a sitting room out of my bedroom. So if you've got some reason to be here, say so, and we'll make it a party. Except I've got a headache.
Hector, what's happened to him?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think I know.
My dear people, you are people, aren't you? I mean, I detest mumbling. I have a phobia. The doctors call it mumble phobia. That's what they call it, mumble phobia. So would you mind not mumbling?
No, not at all. That's quite all right, Mr. Bellamy. We'll leave you to your own devices now.
Well, thank you very much.
But Hector...
It's all right, Fran. Maybe Mr. Bellamy wants to get a little rest. Come on.
But... What do you mean, rest? I want to get up and get dressed.
Yes, of course. We'll see you again, I hope, Mr. Bellamy. Come on, Fran.
Yeah, do drop in again sometime.
Yeah, thanks. We'll do that. Good night, Mr. Bellamy. Say good night to Mr. Bellamy, Fran.
What? Of course. Good night, Mr. Bellamy.
Good night.
Hector, what's the meaning of this? What in the world's happened to him? Has he gone
crazy? No, but that crack on the skull's given our dear John a rip-snorting case of amnesia.
Amnesia?
Yeah, partial. He doesn't remember what happened. He doesn't remember you or me. In fact, about all he seems to remember, at least now, is his name. He didn't show any surprise at his name being John Bellamy, although if he knew who he was, he would.
But he didn't even talk like John. He sounds like someone else.
No, it's just one of those things.
Well, what are we going to do?
Nothing. We're just going to wait and see what happens. And in the meantime, humor him. And if he wants to know who you are again, well, don't tell him you're his wife.
Oh, but Hector...
We mustn't confuse him. Just tell him that... tell him you work here. That's a good idea. And if he falls for it, ask him about that raise he promised you last week.
Raise?
Why, sure. Don't you remember? He said he'd give you a $10 a week raise. Well, you're making 50 a week now instead of 40.
But Hector McGillicuddy, have you gone crazy too?
Oh, why not? It's all the rage this year.
Fran.
Yes, Mr. Bellamy?
Fran, how much am I paying you?
Paying me? $50 a week, sir.
$50? Is that all? Why, I'm nothing but a mean old miserly man. That's what I am. I'm a penny pincher. I ought to be ashamed. Ashamed, that's what I ought to be. From now on, you're making $75 a week.
But...
Whoever heard of a maid working for less than $75 a week?
Well, Mr. Bellamy...
And incidentally, Fran, you're much too lovely to be a maid. You should be wearing satins and silks. Very gossamer things, Fran. Let's go shopping this afternoon.
Hmm? Oh, but Mr. Bellamy...
Tut, my dear. It was a wise man who said, beauty is a thing to behold, hide it not from the view of man. But give it to the light of costly robes, and give it the music of Pan, which rhymes with Fran. Well.
simply got to do something. You can't let him stay in this world of unreality. He's mad. He's stark, staring mad.
Why? What's he done?
Well, I did as you said to do. I've been pretending to be the maid. And, well, yesterday he insisted that we go downtown shopping.
Yes?
And he spent more than $300 on clothes for me.
Well, if John did that, he's wacky, all right. Has he mentioned anything about pumps?
No. But, oh, Hector, it would be wonderful if he could stay this way. He's fallen in love with me. And he can say the most beautiful things.
Well, then why don't we leave him the way he is? You and he can start in all over again.
Oh, no, we can't do that, Hector.
Well, if you insist. After all, he is your husband, but I should think you'd like to keep him the way he is.
Oh, it would be wonderful. The way he is now is the way I've always dreamed a husband should be. Oh, but it's no use.
Okay, Fran, I suppose if a whack on the head put him into this, another whack on the head will take him out of it.
Maybe dancing out at Pine Terrace or maybe a moonlight ride,
Well, I'm afraid we can't go anywhere, Mr. Bellamy. You see, Dr. McGillicuddy will be here in a minute.
Dr. McGillicuddy? That walking bottle of iodoform. What the devil's he coming here for?
Well, I think he wants to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to him. He's a nuisance. Besides that, he's a fuddy-duddy. That's what he is.
Oh, well, that must be him now. I'll go let him in.
Oh, no. Why not just let him ring? There are so many things I want to tell you, Fran.
Well, I'd better go.
Fran.
What?
Just this.
Well, why, Mr. Bellamy. Oh, I'd better go answer the door now.
As long as you're here, won't you sit down, Dr. McGillicuddy?
Oh, I know. I think I'll just stand up.
Are you going to do it, Hector?
Yeah, I'm going to do it in a minute, yeah.
Oh.
So you're beginning to mumble again. I thought we had that out once. I don't like mumbling.
Oh, of course not, Mr. Bellamy. Excuse us. We were just... well, look, Mr. Bellamy.
Yes?
Do you ever see this ring I have here? It's a scarab. It came all the way from Egypt. Got it when I was over there.
How vitally interesting, Doctor. Did you bring any mummies besides yourself?
Well, no, you see, I'm awfully sorry, John.
John.
Look. Isn't this all just a little bit sudden?
Well, I'm sorry, John. It was something I had to do. How do you feel?
Well, outside of my jaw, I feel fine. How do you feel?
It didn't work.
Well, shake your head once. Isn't it, don't you feel a little different than you did?
Yeah, a little different than I did. A bust on the jaw always makes a person feel a little different than they did. Look, I'll show you just what I mean.
Oh, John!
Well. Looks like I did a better job than he did a better job, I got up again and he doesn't.
Oh,
he isn't.
John, darling, it's awful. It was just an experiment.
But why?
You're not normal, John. You're an amnesiac.
I'm a what-ack?
Amnesia. And Hector was trying to bring you out of it.
Darling, sweetheart, Fran, I'm not a whatchamacallit-ack. I'm as normal and sane as I've ever been, with the exception that I'm crazy about you.
But, John,
I've only been kidding, darling. I've only been using that crack on the head as an excuse.
But, John, you've changed so.
That night when I left the house in a huff, Fran, darling, I got to thinking about... Oh, well, about you and what a swell person you are. Particularly to have put up with an old sour grape like me. And then I got to thinking about me. And I said to myself, John, I said, why are you such a sourpuss? And right away it struck me like a flash.
What, John?
It was that blamed scratchy woolen underwear I'd been wearing for 5 years and coffee nerves.
Oh, John, you big idiot.
That's what it was. So now will you quit being the housemaid and be my wife?
Well, who else could I be?
Oh.
Hector.
Oh, what in the blazes happened to me?
You tell him, Fran, darling. You see, I don't remember what happened to him. I've got amnesia.
And so the curtain falls on Act Two of The Worm Turn, starring Elliot Lewis. I'll be back in a moment, but first, here is your announcer, Wendell Niles.
See, taste, compare. Prove to yourself the superiority of La Rosa macaroni, spaghetti, egg noodles. Tonight, make the three-way La Rosa quality test. See La Rosa's natural golden color, the pure sunshine color of the world's finest semolina, the cream of the new durum wheat harvest. Taste that luscious La Rosa flavor, richer, smoother, more delicious, with that just right, firm yet tender texture. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. Look for the big red rose on every package. Get La Rosa, America's largest selling brand. For real economy, remember it's a full pound. Now, once again, our host, C.P. McGregor.
Thank you for an excellent portrayal, Elliot. I know since you are such a regular star in our theater, you won't mind forgoing our usual backstage chat. We have a great program for the balance of the week, and I must take a moment to tell our audience about it. Tomorrow, Edna Best joins us in a bright comedy titled The Neighbors. Then, lovely Marjorie Reynolds stars in a romantic drama, Stolen Honeymoon. On Thursday, Lynn Merrick joins us in a mystery thriller that is based upon one woman's confident hope that her sweetheart will return. On Friday, we have a comedy that stars Robert Mitchum that will take you back to the mustache cups and tandem bicycles. Be sure to join us every day. Until tomorrow, then, thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.